This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduh, wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'ughfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله فيا أيها المسلمون اتقوا الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولًا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for his forgiveness. We send our salutations upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his friends. We should all praise and thank Allah Ta'ala once again for allowing us to be together, to listen to the Jumu'ah khutbah and to pray together. I ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to reward each and every one of us, and I ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Today is the 26th of Dhul Hijjah, 1444. And in the next 4 days, we are entering a new Islamic year, which is 1445. Which means 1445 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. It is such a significant event. And I thought today in this khutbah, I want to talk about just a portion of the hijrah. A very important part, which I think is very relevant to us. Before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, there were 5 tribes in Yathrib, in Yemen, in Medina. It was called Yathrib. And these 5 tribes, there were 3 of them were Jewish tribes, Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynuqa, and Banu Qurayza. And there were 2 Arab tribes. There were Aus and Khazraj. And they were at each other's necks all the time, especially Aus and Khazraj. They were always fighting for power. They had these differences. The Khazraj were a bigger clan, and they thought they were more powerful, but they were always at war, and there was a lot of killing. And then you had the Jews, they would always consider themselves, you know, higher than the Arabs. And they were saying that when the next Prophet comes, we're going to wipe you all out. So there was a lot of issues in Medina before the migration. So when the people of Medina, when they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know about the pledges that happened, Aus and Khazraj, members of them, went to the Prophet ﷺ and they created this agreement, this pact. And they became Muslim. And within that short time before the migration, a mass population of Aus and Khazraj became Muslim because of the da'wah of Mus'ab ibn Umair and others who went back to Medina and they were giving a lot of da'wah. And by the time the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, there was a lot of the Arabs who became Muslim between the Aus and Khazraj. And one of the things the Prophet ﷺ dealt with before the migration was an agreement. the pledge that happened. And in that pledge, they had to plead allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of him being the authority and having that iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and creating that unity. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, there were a few things that he established. Two things I want to mention. Number one, he established a masjid. Now we know when he went to Quba, the first thing he did establish the masjid. Then when he entered Medina, the first thing he did, he established a masjid. And the masjid wasn't just a place to pray. It was a hub. It was a center. It was a center of salah. It was a center of Islamic knowledge. It was a school. It was a madrasa. It was everything. That one masjid, which was made of mud bricks, and the roof was just palm leaves. You know, when it would rain, the water would drip down. There was no carpet. It was just sand. Very simple building. But you can see the graduates from that masjid, from that building. The greatest the ummah has ever seen. The greatest people the ummah has ever seen. But he established that hub, that masjid. And all the Islamic knowledge was taught in that masjid. And then another thing he did was he established brotherhood. Now try to imagine. You've got a group of sahabas who are migrating. Hundreds. Migrating from Mecca to Medina. Even though they were Arabs, but they had a different culture. They lived in different societies, they had a different culture. And they were migrating to a new place. So you can see that the mind of the Meccans and the people in Medina will not be the same. But one thing the Prophet established was iman, belief in Allah Ta'ala, being a Muslim, being strong, and the unity, the brotherhood, strength. Because that is what gives success to a society. And when that was established, nothing could shake the people of Medina. Nothing. And you can see the successes of Medina. So the verses that are recited, Allah Ta'ala is reminding the Muslims about this strength, this unity. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he would start a khutbah, he would begin with the first ayah that I mentioned. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ He says, O you who believe, O you the one who has iman, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Have taqwa in Allah Ta'ala. Be conscious of Allah, wherever you are. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ As Allah Ta'ala deserves. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ And do not die, do not leave this world, except in full submission with Allah. So there's a couple of things we need to be reminded in that one verse. Number one, that we need to have taqwa in Allah. In every aspect of our life, be conscious that Allah is watching us. So whatever step we take, whatever intentions we have, we need to make sure that anything that we do, it pleases Allah Ta'ala, first and foremost. And secondly, remind yourself of death, because we don't want to be leaving this world without full submission in Allah. So our bag should be packed, meaning our heart should be packed with iman. That's what we need to do. That's the first thing. Then the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا So important. Straight after that verse, one of the most important verses the Prophet starts with, Allah ta'ala starts with, he then says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا And grab on, hold on to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. Grab on, hold on to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. So here Allah is reminding us, in this small community of Muslims, in this small town, Allah Ta'ala is saying, hold on to His rope, the Quran and the Sunnah. This is His rope. Because what happens if we're hanging on to something or we're pulling something, if one person lets go of it, then the pulling becomes harder. Everyone should be pulling the same rope. Everyone should be holding the same rope. And that is that the Quran and the Sunnah. The fact that we are all Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, hold on to that firmly. And do not disunite. Very, very important. Because what happens is, if we let go of that rope and we grab onto something else, you're not holding on to the same destination. You're not holding on to what that initial rope is tied onto. You're grabbing onto something else. So what's going to happen? The results will be different. You will not have the same results. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala then reminds the people of Medina, or reminds the Muslims in general, that remember the favor of Allah. Remember the favor of Allah. That there was a time where you were disunited. The Aus and Khazraj, they were not together. They were disunited. And then Allah Ta'ala says, and we put your hearts together. We brought you together. You were united. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَانَ فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And you became brothers. You became sisters. We were all, everyone was together under the banner of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةِ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you were at the edge, you were on the brink of hellfire. And He brought you back. He took you out of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He saved us from that. Then He says, كَذَٰلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. This is how Allah ta'ala makes His signs clear to us, so that we may be guided. Allah ta'ala reminds us and He tells us, think about that moment when you were not united and the issues and problems you had. But then my favors were, I united you all and you were strong in Iman and you succeeded in everything that you wanted to do. So important. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. The reasons why we are the best nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let there be arising from you a nation that invites people towards good. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because you remind others of good and you forbid others from evil. When you see something good, an opportunity, you do it and you tell others to do it. And when you see an issue, a problem, you take the initiative by helping the other person to stay away from it. That's what a Muslim does. That's why we are such a blessed nation. We remind each other of good and we remind each other of bad, of evil. That's why we are the chosen nation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the greatest nation. And then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they will be the successful ones. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be like the ones who become divided. وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And differed from each other after clear evidence and proofs have come in front of you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. If that happens, then those people will have the great punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now think about Medina. The migration happened. Aus and Khazraj united. Muslims united. Da'wah was spreading. What do you think their vision was? The vision of the Muslims. Their vision was what? To have a city, a town or a city that establishes the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly, and everyone being united, and from that spreading the da'wah of Islam to the rest of the world. That was their vision. And this is something that they did. But then when disunity started happening, what happened? They start to crumble. If you look at the disunity that happened, when Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, what happened to the ummah? They were crumbling. The wars that happened between the Sahabas, they were human beings. Then at one time when we had Spain under us, but then the pleasures of this world overtook the leaders, what happened? Everyone started disuniting and then we crumbled. What happened to the nation of Islam from the Uthmani Empire? What happened at that time? Divisions emerged between the Muslims, and what happened? We crumbled. So whatever organization, in any organization, it could be a city, it could be a country, it could be a business, it could be an organization, it could be an industry, it could be institution, it could be even your own family at home. If it's not established under La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and you have not firmly upheld that, you're not holding on to the rope of Allah, then expect you not to succeed. Because that's what's going to happen. So inshallah we'll continue next khutbah. قُلُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. This school, it was established 10 years ago, and we have a vision. And we want to see this school produce amazing talents, amazing students who uphold the deen of Allah. And those who lead them, the educators and those above them, to hold on to the rope of Allah, to hold it firmly. Because if we do that, you will see great successes. It's not about the buildings. It is not about the fancy, you know, things that we can have. That's great if we can have it. More help. But again, going back to remember the simple masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And it produced amazing, amazing, amazing sahabas. The success of the ummah through that. That's what we need to focus on. That's what is our priority. If we have that focus, nothing else will matter. And then we are the best nation because we remind each other. You know, in that migration that happened, when the Prophet ﷺ told an Ansari and a Muhajir to be brothers. I'll give you one example. There was a Sahaba by the name of Salman al-Farisi. And he was put in the house of Abu Darda. Abu Darda was an Ansari. And when Abu Darda became a Muslim, he was so strong in it that nothing else mattered in his life. So this is before the advent of hijab came. Salman al-Farisi was staying in Abu Darda's house. And he noticed the wife of Salman al-Farisi, she didn't take care of herself. Maybe she didn't use to comb her hair properly. There were some Sahaba said a few issues. She wasn't taking care of herself. So Salman al-Farisi asked the wife of Abu Darda, why aren't you taking care of yourself? So she replied, your brother, Abu Darda, doesn't care about anything else. Nothing. Nothing else matters except his deen. So Salman al-Farisi, he thought of a plan. The next day, actually, the wife of Abu Darda said, your brother fasts every single day and he prays every single night. This is what he does. And nothing else matters to him. So the next day, Abu Darda was fasting. And there was food presented to Salman al-Farisi. And Abu Darda was there. Salman al-Farisi told him, eat. Abu Darda said, Jazakallah khair, I'm fasting. He said, I will not eat until you break your fast. Now, this is not Ramadan. This is obviously the sunnah fasts or the nawafil fast. He said, I will not eat until you break your fast and eat with me. So Abu Darda broke his fast and ate with him. Then that night, Abu Darda started to pray, Qiyamul Layl. Then Salman al-Farisi told him, go to sleep. He said, no, I want to pray. He said, no, go to sleep. So he went to sleep. Then when Abu Darda noticed, he woke up and noticed Salman al-Farisi was about to sleep, he got up to pray and Salman al-Farisi said, no, not now, go to sleep. And he thought, what's going on? Anyways, he went to sleep. Then the last third of the night, Salman al-Farisi told him, all right, let's get up and let's pray together. And they prayed together. Abu Darda didn't like that very much. Now he's at my house and he's telling me all these things, all right? So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he complained. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what your brother Salman al-Farisi said to you is correct. Your deen has, Allah has a right over you. Your body has a right over you. Your family has a right over you. So what this shows that they were brothers in Islam. They would correct each other. They would remind each other of goodness. And they would, because their main focus was what? To please Allah Ta'ala. And for everyone to be in Jannah together. That is what the focus was. And not only that, I remember a cousin of mine, I visited his house. And so he was sitting there, his dad was there, and his grandfather was there. They were all together. And the father would say something about Islam, and then the son was correcting his father in a very respectful way. He was correcting him. And I was a bit shocked, like in front of all of us, he's correcting his father, okay? I thought maybe later on he would sit with his dad and tell him, but no. Then another day, we were sitting together. So his father was correcting the grandfather, so his father, in a very respectful manner. And I thought, man, in public to correct someone, it's quite difficult. But they were very respectful. So I asked my cousin, I'm like, how come you guys correct each other in front of everyone? Doesn't your dad get a bit upset or angry with you? He said, a few months ago, we all sat down. My family, my parents, family, and my grandparents, we all sat down. And we made a pact, we made an agreement, that we are going to live in this life to please Allah only. To please Allah. That's it. No matter what happens. So if one person does something wrong, we're going to correct each other, no matter who it is, in a respectful manner, in a proper way. And I love that about it, because I couldn't dare to correct my father or my grandfather in public. But if he means to correct someone so that others can listen and hear and nothing else gets, there's no negative impact, then why not? Because we are all Muslims. So this is so important. The establishment of any society, the establishment of any institution, if it doesn't have two things, if it doesn't have La ilaha illallah, that firm belief, that firm iman, that strong connection with Allah Ta'ala, and that we are not united, then there will be no success. There will be no success. Even a small town like Medina would be ruined when it first started. But those are the two things the Prophet established and made it firm, no matter what happens. So therefore, in any, your own home, within your own family members, in this school that we have, in any businesses that you may have, number one thing is everything must be established to please Allah Ta'ala. That's it. Nothing else should matter. Please Allah Ta'ala, first and foremost. Follow that vision. And secondly, we need to keep united. Never disunite amongst each other. Because if we do, there'll be no success. The whole thing will tumble down, no matter how sophisticated our building may look like. It will not matter. So we need to keep united, we need to keep it strong, and correct each other in a respectful manner. Very respectful manner. So that inshallah we can all succeed in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us united. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue the success of our school. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our love between each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to learn, to understand, acknowledge our mistakes, and to forgive one another. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all Jannatul Firdaus, ibadallah. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اغفر لنا يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا ولوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربيانا صغارا والجميع المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم واجعلهم من الناجحين يا رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقيموا الصلاة.